spread from Fire Up, and Steve Mascord needs to stop listening to bad 80s hair metal and play some punk rock for a change.
Welcome to episode 5 of White Line Fever. Now, if you want to know about helicopters, you go to Darren Lockyer. If you want to know about terrorism, you go to Melbourne Storm supporters. And if you want to know about a rugby league program, which subsequently becomes a podcast, then you go to these fellas. It's Stephen and Brett from Fire Up. Hello, guys.
Good, good, good. It wasn't a program, was it, Brett? It was 2 minutes of just a report on the weekend that became a lot more.
Yes, it started as a two-minute segment. It's gone to an hour now, and nobody's noticed. That's how much attention they pay here at FBI.
And like everything in rugby league, it started off with gambling, didn't it? It started off with a tipping competition.
That's right, that's right. It did start with me writing reports for a tipping competition for the music industry, which tickled Stephen's fancy.
And then, of course, Mark Gasnier really put the icing on the cake, didn't it? You know, that was the real inspiration.
Now, Mark Gasnier's retired. Are you going to have to come up with another name for the program?
Well, we bought the rights to the words Fire Up from Gaz when he was at his lowest ebb. Yes. So we'll continue to use them and continue to prosecute those who use them without our permission.
And unfortunately, it was called Fire Up Limited. Now it's going to have to be called Fire Up Australia.
Yes.
Now, this is our grand final edition. So what were your highlights of the year?
Well, I knew we were in for a great year of rugby league when Anthony Watts picked up Todd Carney's car without his shirt on. I thought that was a fantastic omen for the year ahead, and so it proved. It just got better from there. I think, you know, when Todd Carney sat down at the end of 2010, thought Dally M winner, grand finalist, made the Australian team, the lesson I need to take from this is to get back on the piss. I thought that's really set the tone for a great year.
And really, when you think about it, the year started, it was New Year's Eve when Todd Carney set fire to someone's pants.
That's right. that was last year.
Oh, sorry, that was before.
And as one of my friends said, Todd Carney's going to set the NRL on fire one arse at a time.
And, of course, you know, our perspective is completely different. We were in the grand final together, St George, the Roosters. It could only go down.
It always annoys me. You never say Illawarra. Can you say Illawarra 63 times to make up for...
We are now the St George Illawarra team. You are correct there. And I just wish we would just wear one jersey. But it could only go downhill for us from there on in. And, of course, ended up with Tinkler being dropped on the roof of the Illawarra Stadium. And that's that.
That's a good gag. So the gag is that the grandstand roof has collapsed, and as a farewell gesture, Wayne Bennett has got the owner...
Flew in Tinkler on a great big helicopter and dropped straight off the last dinner, dropped him on the roof.
As anyone who listens to our show knows, we are fattest. And so we are looking forward to the continued involvement of Tinkler and Crow in rugby league.
Crow wasn't fat enough, hasn't he? And he loses weight every second year.
Yeah, well,
so we need a big man.
Yeah. Any other highlights for the year? Did you find the Melbourne fans booing David Gullett to be a highlight of the year? Or?
Well, I thought that was, you know, they need to take responsibility for the rats. In the ranks. Yes. I don't believe David Gallup, bought Greg Inglis a boat last time I looked.
And people talk about some of the currency of rugby league, the passion, but really delusion is one of the great qualities, the great currency of rugby league. There's so many deluded people.
And, of course, since that happened, the US State Department has actually compared terrorists to Melbourne Storm fans. So I think David was right on the money there.
I've got to say, Stephen, I know you'll agree with me, one of the other highlights of the year was seeing Greg Inglis aimlessly wandering around talking to seagulls for most of the year South Sydney jumper.
Yes.
And I'm predicting that South in March will be absolutely dead certain to win a premiership yet again. I think they're the greatest March premiers in the history of rugby league.
And that prestige vehicle will be drawn out again, showing a bit of sunlight, a little bit of rain, back it goes, and that'll be it for South Sydney.
Now, the real reason I'm here is because we play music on this program. So on one hand, we've got a DJ who can actually introduce a song. On the other hand, we've got a solicitor who can give us permission to use it. So we'll start with, I don't know who we do for. Okay, Stephen Ferris, you can pick a song, and then Brett Oaten, you can give us permission to use it.
Look, this song has been on the playlist, the A-list of FBI since day one, 2003, Junior Brown. He's exactly what exemplifies FBI radio, all fired up. And of course, Brett, do we have permission to play this?
On the basis that we are the sole reason that Junior Brown has earned any money in Australia for the last 7 years, I believe that gives us the right to grant permission because his $7.50 APRA checks are totally due to our efforts.
Emotional effort.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the program, guys.
Thank you,
Steve. It ain't no good getting low down when you're looking to get thrown in a can. Like driving 90 miles an hour, getting speeding tickets from the man. But I'm just mad about this girl. but she's gone and I'm mad at the world. I just laid a patch of rubber down the road about a quarter mile long, 'cause I'm all fired up, I'm all fired up and lonesome. I got a chip on my shoulder, I'm acting just a little too tough. Yeah, I've been revving up the motor, and tonight I'm gonna strut my stuff. Yeah, I've been roaring like a lion, and I'm tired of all this crying, and I'm tired of being kicked around like a little hoof putt. 'Cause I'm all fired up, I'm all fired up and lonesome. I'm fired up and lonesome, and I'm on the street. That woman ain't gonna get the best of me. If you're gonna hang around, then I'm gotta warn you, there's no telling what a lonesome fool can do. I'm getting all dressed up, but I got no place to go. But I know a thing or two about riding down a long, lonesome road. Well, I'm just doing the best I can, and I'm trying to take my licking like a man. But I'm tired of always feeling like I'm gonna be her sitting duck. I'm getting all fired up, I'm all fired up and lonesome. Get the best of me. If you're gonna hang around, then I gotta warn you, no telling what a lonesome fool can do. I got a mean streak of lightning, and it's going up and down my spine. I've been spending all my money trying to get that woman off my mind. I'm just mad as I can be, and I'm mad at what she done to me. Burn a hole in my pocket with a roll of my last $2, 'cause I'm all fired up, I'm all fired up and lonesome. Yeah, I'm getting all fired up and lonesome. Feeling my wild oats. Gonna take me a little sightseeing trip.
Hey, what's up? This is Scott Ian.
This is Rob Caggiano of Anthrax, and you're listening to White Line Fever.
Welcome back to White Line Fever. That's the first and last time we're going to be here on the program. That was requested by the Fire Up guys. Friday night at the Sydney Football Stadium, first preliminary final, and it was 26-14, Manly over Brisbane. I'm here with Steve Ricketts from the Courier-Mail. And Steve, what did you think of the game? I suppose the big thing we're going to be talking about all week, a couple of Manly players on report. And by the time some people hear this, they might know the outcome. But Tony Williams and also Steve Maddie, that was, I suppose, the one negative for Manly tonight.
I believe they both should be charged. I think it's a certainty they will be, and I think it's just a certain that Manly will fight both charges, of course, and there'll be a siege mentality at Brookvale as usual.
What do you think of the game? It's been a game showing by the Broncos this year, hasn't it?
I thought the Broncos are sensational, especially their media manager.
And that was their media manager. But, yeah, the Broncos have probably overachieved. They probably will say that in the off-season. They haven't up until now because they gave themselves a fair income chance of winning the title. But they've got a great crop of young kids. I think the big question mark for next year is who will wear the number 6 jumper. Corey Norman significantly travelled with Brisbane to this game to soak up the experience, and I still think he's probably the favourite.
Thanks, Steve. We'll leave it there. Now, in about 2 weeks' time, I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to Sammy Hagar's birthday bash, and a band I saw last time I went was a band called Silvertide, and here's a song by them. It's called Fox. What's it called? Foxhole Jesus Christ. It's an anti-war song. Thanks, Steve.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Better stand strong, brothers and sisters, if peace was in this war. sit down. We got one unit lost and the others to browse. Down and sit down and get down and sit down. We got one unit lost and the others to proud. Are you a box told Jesus Christ? Anyone can be a hero if they don't think twice. Your box told Jesus Christ. Don't be a modern man. Your box told Jesus Christ. Anyone can be a hero if they don't think twice. Your box told Jesus Christ. Your box told Jesus Christ. I hope your funeral smells nice.
Silvertide. Now, our next guest was quite offended a couple of weeks ago when we slagged off the AFL because he happens to follow the game. It's Tommy Boyce from the Casanovas. How are you, Tommy?
I'm great. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for coming on the program. Now, who do you follow?
Well, I follow the Saints, but with a sort of probably waning degree of loyalty lately, just because of the fact that just looking at the whole way it works and the whole thing just being a big business and... I'm a little bit disillusioned, probably because of the fact that we've lost like 3 grand finals and stuff. But yeah, it's just that whole kind of business thing and the whole league going the way of like the Premier League kind of thing in terms of people just chopping and changing clubs, spending on money and stuff. It just means that I'm kind of not as into it as I used to be. But yeah.
Is that...
Still love watching the game, yeah.
Is that all professional sports you're disillusioned with or just the AFL?
Oh, no, more so the AFL, I think, because I think just because... I personally can't really see the players having and or coaches and stuff having any real loyalty to the club itself. I mean, they have loyalty to each other, I think, you know, they're as in teammates and so on. But I mean, just the way Ross Lyon kind of upped and outed to Freo and stuff, and it just makes you kind of think, well, what's the point in being loyal to a club if they're not actually loyal to the club? You know, it's sort of just this kind of, it's like an illusion, you know.
Are the Storm a chance of recruiting you then?
The Storm, oh man, I'd have to. Every time I turn it on, I kind of flick it off, you know. It's not because I find anything offensive about it. I just don't really get it, you know. So it's just that kind of thing, I guess. I'm just into AFL because I grew up with that, you know. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to music. The big question is, there's a lot of questions, but where have you been for the last couple of years?
Well, we've been, I don't know, what have we been doing? Damo and Joel's work full time now and stuff, and I've had a bit of a health issue. I've had a bit of chronic fatigue over the last couple of years, so that's kind of held me back a bit. And fortunately, I'm sort of getting better from that, which is really good. So I'm just concentrating on writing this record, and you know, once we get that done, we'll probably tour again and go back overseas and stuff.
They don't really know the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome, do they? Or is there a cause?
Well, for me, there was a definite thing, like there's a genetic hemochromatosis thing, which is an iron overload, which I got really hit with pretty hard. My iron was just way too high, and so lost all this weight and kind of was just feeling like death. And eventually, after giving a whole lot of blood, I felt a lot better. So I'm definitely on the upside of it, you know, coming out of it and stuff.
And things were going pretty well for you before that, weren't they? You got some good supports and getting plenty of airplay and publicity.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes and no. We had to get good Triple J airplay in the country is like a real kind of crucial thing to a tour. And so I think going back, it's quite a while now, they sort of stopped really playing this stuff a lot. So kind of makes it really, really hard to tour anything other than just the main cities, you know. And even then, you're sort of struggling, like, without any really decent kind of radio support. So, I mean, we just put a single out pretty recently, and I'm not sure if that got played much or whatever, but then again, singles are kind of not really the kind of thing that people pay much attention to these days. You've got to really put out a long player. So hopefully with the record coming out, we'll get some more radio, and which will enable us to kind of tour more extensively.
We'll get you to introduce a song off one of the first two records shortly, but the first record, you were kind of doing the Airborne thing before there was Airborne, weren't you? Like, really, like that sort of straight-ahead rock thing, and I flicked on cable TV in America, you know, they got the radio stations at the end of the channels, and, you know, they were playing one of the songs off the first record. Second one seemed, correct me if I'm wrong, seemed a bit more Cheap Trick influenced, you know what I mean? You know, what do you think that, was there a deliberate decision to change direction slightly?
Not really, I just think that, like, when you're starting a band and you got, I guess that was like, when we started it was 1999, and obviously, you know, loved bands like AC/DC and Kiss and so on, and when you first do your first kind of stuff, it's like you kind of to exorcise that demon. You just sort of, you do kind of to create your own style. You do copy a little bit to start with, I reckon, and it's just a natural thing. And so yeah, we definitely had some, you know, pretty AC/DC-esque kind of moments in the beginning, and but yeah, it was kind of a matter of doing that and like, yeah, cool, let's call it. But we're never really going to match AC/DC with their own game. So you move on and try and do more of your own thing, you know. So, and that's the way I reckon it's just kind of a natural progression, you know.
Well, we'll come back after this song, but do you want to introduce an older song, and then we'll try and get you to give us a newer song after that, but introduce one.
Yeah, or the second. Oh, I guess we'll hit you up with Shake It. It's always been a perennial favourite, I think, off the old record.
Downtown on my street.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for that. That was Shake It by the Casanovas. I've got Tommy Boyce from Casanovas here. Tommy, now, newer stuff. What have you been working on? And I've got to ask you about this song, The Most Hated Man in Melbourne. Yeah. You're going to get asked about it a lot, I'm sure. What's the story behind it? What can you tell us?
Well, it's, you know, there's only a certain amount I can kind of reveal, because I certainly can't reveal who it's about. I don't want to be, you know, in trouble legally or anything. But someone that, you know, used to work for us and... who we sort of had a falling out with, and money, you know, disagreements over and stuff like that. So that was a really difficult time. And in actual fact, when you asked me what we've been doing lately, I can attribute the inactivity of the band and the sort of real hiatus in what we did a lot to that whole experience. So kind of went from just making music and stuff to being going to, like, you know, worrying about money and all the damage and stuff, and going to VCAT and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was a pain in the ass. But, you know, now we can sort of fortunately kind of look back on it and have a bit of a laugh and not sort of, you know, worry about it, because it's all history now. So, yeah.
When you're writing a song out of kind of anger, does it come out more quickly? Is it different than writing a song motivated by something else? Like, was it written in 5 minutes, or
in actual fact, yeah, that song definitely was written really, really quickly. I think we were just sitting around and we kind of brought it up as a potential, you know, song subject matter, and then pretty much within 5 minutes, I pretty much had the song kind of down, you know. So yeah, and sometimes the best moments come that way, like, because there's not too much deliberation, and that's just a pretty simple kind of song, but it's really direct, you know.
And then after it's written, do you have to go and get legal advice as to whether you can record it or release it?
Oh, no, I was pretty sure that what we hadn't sung, if you're not naming anybody, you know, then it's, you're pretty safe. And then, you know, our record label boss is also one of the top music lawyers in town and in the country, so... he was pretty, you know, able to advise us on that. And also, if anything was to happen, the would be directed at him as being the record company boss, you know, putting the record out rather than us. So if he wasn't comfortable with it, we'd have a problem, but he was fine, so it's okay, yeah.
And any reaction from the subject yet?
I have actually had a few secondhand reports of you know, sort of, him being upset and all this sort of stuff, but you know, I'm honestly kind of just past all that now, and I don't really care. And, like, it's, to me, that's just, well, you know, big deal. It's all I really care about is the song now, you know.
Okay, before we play the aforementioned song, can you tell us a bit about how the writing's going for the new record? Who's going to release it? When it's going to be out? What the subject matter of the other songs are. Maybe a bit about what it sounds like, if you could describe what it might sound like.
Well, yeah, it's going to be pretty varied, I think, and like, I kind of, I've been writing quite a lot of my own for this one, and I just demo, like, I've got this little application on my iPhone which has just got a little multi-track thing, and I've always had Pro Tools and stuff on the computer and stuff, but I find that this method's been really, really good, because it's just so low hassle. So I'll just, like, play a riff into the iPhone and then play some drums into it, and then, you know, record some vocals and a bit of bass or something, and you've got a song idea, and, you know, without having to just fuck around too much, you know. So that's been really good. Song material-wise, a lot of it's sort of personal stuff, and style-wise, like, it's probably more... like, it's still going to be a really straight-ahead rock and roll record, but it's more melodic. And I definitely don't mean it in an emo kind of way, but more in a kind of, I guess if I was to draw any kind of comparison, like Cheap Tricky kind of Dictators sort of melodic kind of sense, you know, like, so there's a bit more of that kind of punky kind of thing in there that, I don't know, I've always really, really loved hard rock, obviously, but I also really love great pop music, as in kind of power pop. Like, I love bands like, not that this is an influence at all, but the other end of my taste is, like, you know, Teenage Fan Club and Big Star and, you know, those kind of bands. So if I was to somehow able to fuse my love of that stuff with my rock and roll kind of thing, then that's a great thing, you know, because you're kind of more creating your own kind of thing.
Well, thanks for being with us, Tommy. And here it is, the most hated man in Melbourne.
Cool. Absolute pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Welcome back to White Line Fever. Chris Hyington and Jack Reid were chosen by England this week. A bit controversial. Gary Schofield wasn't very happy about it. There's only, to my knowledge, one other Australian who's represented Great Britain or England, and he's here with me, Tolson Tollett. How are you, Tolson?
Fantastic, Steve. Gary Schofield doesn't know what he's talking about.
Really? Okay, that's, there we go. Now, people will be curious about what sort of reception these two fellas are going to get from their teammates, having broad Australian accents. What can they expect?
I don't think they're going to cop too much. I think actually it will work quite well because I think the talent that they've got that they bring to the team is going to sort of stand them in good stead. The supporters might be a bit annoyed about it, but at the end of the day, if they get a team that wins, it doesn't really matter. And I think Jack Reid was two when he came over here. His father's obviously from Castleford, so he's a proud Yorkshire man. So obviously he would want to see his son play for England. Chris Hyington, in my opinion, should have played State of Origin at some stage in the past few years when he was at the West Tigers, but it hasn't been, and he's taken an opportunity to play for England. And at the end of it, sport is about making money, isn't it? And he's going to make money from playing for England, whether he's from Australia or whether he's from England.
Telson, here in Sydney, there's lots of ex-players working in the media, but you're a bit of a curiosity because most people don't even know you're an ex-player.
Yes, I'm actually caught me rhyming slang for Wallace, aren't I, Steve? Tolson, Tollett, yeah. I've been back in the country now for 14 months. July 2010, we moved back from Ireland with the wife and family. And, things are going well. Working at the ABC and News 24 and News Radio and enjoying my time and not doing a great deal on rugby league, but plenty on other sports.
Now, do you still go out and hear people say, I've lost my Tolson?
Funny story, actually. I've actually been out with a friend of mine and his mate actually said, I've lost my Tolson, and he actually said, you know who this guy is. I've had a couple of interesting times, and being over in England, it seemed to do the rounds over there. But I can't say it's happened to me a great deal of late, but something I'm trying to stay away from, Steve.
Now, your former club, they were London Broncos when you were there, and they're going to change their name to something next year. You got any idea what it is?
I've absolutely no idea. I think they'll probably just take the safe option and move back to London Broncos. I'm tipping that will be the case. But, Yeah, I'm not too sure if it's a good move. I think the Harlequins brand is actually something which, if they'd have stuck with it over the period of time, is going to, you know, would be better for them, because people obviously know about Harlequins Rugby Union, which is the most famous rugby union brand in the world. So I think the similarities there with the rugby league side would have really worked in their favour, but for reasons unbeknownst to you and me, they decided to change their name.
And when you're at London Broncos, and that's when you did play for Great Britain on that 1996 tour, we'll go in a second, but what are your recollections of that 1996 tour? Because some players were sent home early, weren't they, to save money?
Yeah, it was funny, and I was actually one of those players. coming back,
but you came back to us.
I did. Just get back to you, my recollections of the tour. The funniest thing would have been seeing James Lowe's, who was the second or third place hooker on the tour, and end up actually going on to represent Great Britain on a number of occasions after that. But he didn't quite enjoy himself on that tour, I have to say. He enjoyed going out a fair bit, but besides that, he didn't enjoy himself. And the biggest thing I probably remember is Papua New Guinea. The heat was horrific. It was, you know, it was very humid, very very hot. We had a bad stopover on our way to Fiji there at one point as well. So we had a couple of interesting things that happened to us. But yeah, I got sent back just before the second Test match, and then got called back over there for the third Test match after I'd been back here in Sydney for a couple of weeks and going out and catching up with friends and having a couple of lemonades. So it was an interesting time.
Now, we like having people from Penrith on the program because they're not into acid jazz. They don't request Justin Bieber. We had Peter Wallace on a couple of weeks ago. So you get to play a song, and I know you haven't thought about this, so I'll catch you unawares here, but what do you want to play?
Living away from home, and I was into sort of, I'd listen to Cold Chisel, you'd have your ACDCs, and people would go, what on earth is this man talking to, especially with Cold Chisel, but
we'll be right back. episode 2 from Seahard and the NRL Ball, and you are with Steve on White Line Fever.
You got Simon Mannering here, the captain of the Warriors, and judging on the fact I saw you at a Seahard show, you're not going to be disappointed to miss Kelly Clarkson in the pre-match entertainment on Sunday.
Is she playing, is she?
Yeah, she.
It'll be nice to see she out there, actually.
No, it's Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, is that already booked, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. They got offered Alice Cooper and they turned him down.
Oh, did they? Oh. Yeah, obviously some different people in the position to make the choice there, but yeah, hopefully we get a win. And,
yeah, mate, I don't think you won't be too worried about the pre-match entertainment, will you?
No, I probably won't even see it, to be honest.
What are you expecting from the week, mate?
I'm not too sure. First time, so... I think it'll be pretty special and definitely savour the moment, and it'll make it that much more sweeter if we can go all the way on Sunday.
How much attention do you think every TV set in the country will be on the grand final, won't it, next Sunday?
Back home in New Zealand, yeah. I hope so, yeah. I'm sure we'll get a lot of support, and obviously there's a big occasion on back home, but Kiwis get behind any New Zealand side, and I'm sure we have a lot of supporters back home.
This is the difference with this program and others is you get to play a song. You want to pick a song, any song?
Any song. I'll go Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC.
The band in the world most likely to sue me. Okay.